What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
And aloha, America. Welcome to our show today. It is Thursday, December 27th, 2018. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. Sure happy it's Thursday. We've got a lot to talk about today. A lot's going on in the world. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Mike is in our control room, ready to answer the phone, put you on the air with your comments, questions, opinions, and so forth and so on. Boy, what a wild ride on the stock markets today. Opened down, went way down. The Dow actually touched 600 down at one point. And then miracle of miracles, Santa Claus showed up and actually got it shoved 200 points into the green. And I'm sure a lot of people are thinking it's the plunge protection team. Looking at the volume indicators, yeah, somebody came on in and just started buying like crazy to drive that market up. I don't think they can keep up this juggling act, though. I really, really do not. Okay, let's get into the conflict areas here because there's a lot going on with conflict here. Apparently, Iran is now holding talks with the Afghan Taliban following the U.S. announcement of a partial troop withdrawal. And the Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council, Ali Shamkhani, announced on a visit to the Afghan capital of Kabul that Iranian officials have met with the Afghan Taliban. That's going to make a lot of people very nervous about what's going on. And this came just days after the Taliban attended peace talks in the United Arab Emirates with U.S. officials. And representatives from the United Arab Emirates, Saudi Arabia, Pakistan were also present. So apparently they're holding peace talks about how to wind this thing down here. And I'm sure from the U.S. point of view, they're going to say, look, you could run your country any way you want to. We only insist on three things. We want that oil pipeline right of way. We want access to the oil itself, of course. And we still got to get that opium flowing on out there to keep the American drug lords happy and pharmaceutical companies. But I repeat myself here. So there are peace talks going on. And if this is legit and not a feint of some kind, and of course, it's really hard to know, Trump does appear to be keeping one of his most important campaign promises from back in 2016. He's trying to get us out of some of these wars that the United States is mired in all over the world. And I would like to point out that at least so far, Trump has not started any new wars. So we'll hope he stays on that track here. Over in Syria, apparently the Al-Qaeda-linked Wahhabid al-Muminin operations room conducted a hit-and-run attack on several positions of the Syrian Arab Army in northern Latakia. And according to pro-militant sources, over 20 Syrian Arab soldiers were killed. Now, another version of the events claims that the SSA repelled the attack in the villages of Naqshiba, Rusat al-Malik, and Ain el-Quadra, killing most of the attackers. So, apparently, large numbers of Syrian troops have been deployed near Manbij, where U.S. forces, as of last report, are still located. Now, here is where it gets interesting. The Southeast Syrian rebels are ready to surrender after the U.S. pullout from Tanf base, and their commanders are in talks with the Syrian government to try and negotiate a safe passage to the north. And may work, may not. If they were trying to just leave the country, I think Assad would say, sure, you're going to be out here. But they could be going north to join with the Kurds in the northeast of Syria, which would lead Assad in a position to say, yeah, you've got safe passage, and then pull a highway of death on them, which is what the United States did to retreating Iraqi troops during the Iraq War. Bombed vehicles at the head and end of the convoy to lock everything in place and just torched everything. I think that qualifies as a war crime here. All right. The United Nations has been presented with evidence that the white helmets were not what the corporate media told us. They weren't humanitarian. They weren't rescuers. And the UN was presented with evidence about staged attacks, which we all know that's what they were doing, criminal activities, working with terrorists, apparently even organ theft, stealing from civilians, and all this other behavior. And of course, the corporate media, which sold us that image of the white helmets as being real, that they're the good guys. You know, you just follow them along and don't ever think they would do something like stage a false flag attack. Corporate media, of course, is ignoring the presentation to the United Nations because they don't want to have to turn around and say, okay, we were wrong about the white helmets, because then everybody else starts saying, well, what else have you been wrong about these many years, as it were? Now, as U.S. forces get ready to retreat from Syria or pull out from Syria, I'm not going to use the word retreat. I'll get the war hawks angry at me. Apparently, Turkish-backed fighters are preparing to take their place. And Turkey is apparently planning to invade in the course of this replacement and wants to get those Syrian Kurds and basically resolve that situation. Now, Russia has issued a warning to Turkey not to invade. So Russia is flexing its muscle, and we'll see just how crazy Erdogan is really going to turn on out. Down in Saudi Arabia, there's been a shakeup of the government. King Salman ordered the reshuffle earlier today. He's appointed a new foreign minister. He's turning over other top posts, and this is all from the fallout over the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi. Foreign Minister Adel Al-Jubeir was demoted to Minister of State for Foreign Affairs and replaced by a veteran former finance minister, Ibrahim Al-Assaf. This came about by royal decree. King Salman also named Prince Abdullah bin Bandar, who's the son of Prince Bandar Al-Saud, who was once the Saudi ambassador to Washington. He's the new head of the National Guard, and they're hiring additional security intelligence officials. Now, Al-Jubeir has previously said Khashoggi's killing was a tremendous mistake. Now, in an interview last October, he said that the Washington Post columnist's death was the result of a rogue operation and that the Saudi government will punish those who are responsible. Of course, our media and our government are saying, well, it had to be Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. It wouldn't have happened without there. That remains to be seen. But it turns out that apparently Khashoggi was acting as a foreign influence agent inside the United States at the Washington Post itself. And his agenda was to change U.S. policy against Saudi Arabia and in favor of the Muslim Brotherhood. And apparently they were working for Qatar. Now, the Washington Post actually admitted this in a pre-Christmas Saturday news dump, but alert people picked up on it, and it's gone viral all over the web. Apparently, text messages between Khashoggi and an executive at Qatar Foundation International show the executives at times shaped the columns he submitted to the Washington Post, proposing topics, drafting material, and prodding him to take a hard line against the Saudi government. So Khashoggi wasn't as squeaky clean as a lot of people tried to make on out. All right, let's talk about the yellow vests. We're coming up here on another weekend. There's probably going to be more of these protests. There's a lot of concern being expressed about this secret weapon deployed by the police that blows this powder that is incapacitating at the yellow vest protesters. And nobody knows what it is, whether it's just a more concentrated form of CS tear gas or if it's something completely new. But the police aren't saying. They're just using it. Now, a lot of people are looking at the yellow vests and saying this could be the beginning of a populist uprising. And apparently the corporate media is trying to push back and saying that the yellow vests have got nothing to do with the rise of the right in Europe. And this journalist and author, Gilbert Mercier, in a Sputnik interview said that the Yellow Vest proposed citizens' initiative referendum may pave the way for the rise of a French Sixth Republic, where the people of France will finally be heard by their government. He's actually acknowledged we could be looking at the beginning of a real revolution, hopefully a non-violent one. But the Yellow Vest protesters are demanding this referenda initiative, which is a push to bring back democracy, to allow the French people to themselves propose laws to go on the ballots. And that's a really, really good idea. Poor Emmanuel Macron, it seems the damage is done. And these days, there isn't anything that he does that isn't going to be criticized or made fun of. Apparently, during his pre-Christmas visit to Kosei Air Base near Chad's capital, Macron brought along champagne, foie gras, and chocolate to share a holiday meal with 1,300 troops. Now, setting aside the cruelty involved in making foie gras, that's a really nice thing for him to have done. And yet on Twitter, there have been comments out there about, you know, let them eat cake. So the damage is done. I don't think Macron is going to recover from this, no matter what he does. Now, here's an interesting question being posed by Sputnik News, because the Yellow Vests are demanding French President Macron resign, and they're unlikely to succeed unless they have backers within France's political circles. This is coming from Italian journalist Daniel Pozzati. And he's basically saying there may well be elements, I'm sure there are, within the French government who would like Macron to go. They think it's a time for a change of leadership. Now, last October, there'd been a whole series of resignations at the highest level of French government. It had left Macron struggling to fill vacancies due to the reluctance of French senior politicians to associate their names with what they see as his doomed presidency. And this all happened before the Yellow Vest movement even started up. Okay. Getting on back down to Syria. Syria, of course, has strongly condemned Israel's recent missile strike near the capital as a blatant violation of a United Nations resolution, adding that Tel Aviv would not have been able to carry out such attacks without support from the United States. Normally, I would go along with that and say, yes, I agree. But at this point, looking at Netanyahu's situation, I think he's perfectly capable of just going off and acting unilaterally. So, Syria's foreign ministry has accused Israel of seeking to prolong the crisis in Syria, noting that such strikes are tantamount to what ISIS and other terrorist groups are doing in Syria. And Syria is once again petitioning the Security Council to fulfill its responsibilities to keep international peace. Good luck when it comes to Israel. Now, Syria is reporting that of all the missiles that Israel's F-16s fired into their country, 86% were successfully intercepted and destroyed before they reached their targets. And this is without the benefit of the Russian S-300 system, which is not quite online just yet here. There's another story floating around I could not confirm, saying that the missiles fired in retaliation by Syria into Israel actually did a lot of damage, and Israel has imposed military censorship to keep that from getting on out. So truth indeed is the first casualty of war. Now, as you know, Israel, the Knesset has been dissolved. Netanyahu is calling for snap elections. They're going to be in April, and he's already out there trying to win back some of the popularity he's lost. And so he's basically given a gift to the settler movement, 2,200 new illegally constructed homes in the occupied West Bank. And the plans have already been approved earlier this week. And they're going to just start building on stolen land here. Now, last week, the Israeli government raided a law firm linked to Israel's Mossad intelligence agency to pressure a U.S.-based fundraising platform to ban BDS from using its services. So you can almost feel the panic. Now, over in the West Bank, the European Union's policing operation is being investigated for fraud. And apparently, a few days before they were going to shut down for the Christmas break, an anti-fraud office called OLAF came on in and conducted a search, quizzed some staff, took various documents and electronic equipment away for further inspection. Now, the investigation has been unreported until now. This is not the first time the EU's policing operation has been under suspicion. Two years ago, in December of 2016, the Union's diplomatic service opened a probe into claims of nepotism and harassment in the operation's headquarters. Like nothing's really working over there. Things are about to get tense in the Sea of Azov. As you know, Poroshenko has said they're going to send more warships through the Kerch Strait. They're not going to ask for permission. They're treating it as a freedom of navigation exercise and arbitrarily saying the Sea of Azov is international waters. And Poroshenko is calling on NATO to go along with them. Now, Russia has already dispatched a guided missile cruiser into the Sea of Azov to have some muscle. And now Moscow is calling on Ukraine and all of the Western partners to abandon this new plan to send naval warships through the Kerch Strait. Now, Maria Zakharova, who's the spokesperson for the Russian Foreign Ministry, called the possible passage a reckless initiative. She's got that one correct here. And Zakharova noted that the Western supervisors of Kiev, she knows who's really the boss, should come up with a way of reasoning with the ruling regime in Ukraine in order to make them abandon the steps that could lead to escalation in the region. And she finished by saying that apparently the utter failure of Kiev's last attempt to breach the Kerch Strait has not taught them a lesson. All righty. Down in the South China Sea, apparently China has installed a new facility in the Paracel Islands of the South China Sea. Satellite images revealing Beijing's continuing quest for power in the disputed area. Recent satellite imagery shows a new structure, which appears to be anchored on the north edge of the Bombay Reef with solar panels and a radome. So they basically are putting up a long-range radar there, and according to the Asia Maritime Transparency Initiative, the dome appears to be an Ocean E station, a component of a larger Blue Ocean information network which China is developing to aid its exploration, exploitation, and control of the region. And looking at the dates of the satellite images, the dome was set up sometime between April and July of this year. Well, China's going to market. As you know, they have this Mach 6 anti-ship missile, and they're willing to sell it to other countries who need to basically have ways to deter invasion. And China is describing it as intended for rapid and precision strikes against medium-sized ships, naval task forces, and offshore facilities. And according to the Chinese, the CM-401, that's the hypersonic missile's designation, is fitted with a terminal radar guidance unit featuring a nose-mounted gimbal antenna. Once launched, the missile flies along a ballistic trajectory, reaching near space altitude. The weapon has an average speed of Mach 4, and during the dive to terminal phase, a peak of Mach 6. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Attention RBN listeners, Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
If you've got the money, honey, we got the bombs. We'll plant them anywhere you like and blow up anyone. Whip this world into a frenzy, killing babies, dads, and moms. If you got the money, honey, we got the bomb. If you got the money, well, we won't say we did.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. We're talking about what's going on in the various conflict areas. Now, North and South Korea had a groundbreaking ceremony for a project to link their railway and road networks. They actually broke ground. And they may actually move ahead with linking the railways and the roads. But until the sanctions are lifted, they can't be used. Unless the two Koreas simply announce we're reunified now, which would obsolete the U.S. agenda in North Korea, because now we'd be all one Korea. But clearly, Kim Jong-un and Moon Jae-in think putting the country back together again is a really good idea. And the United States, of course, does not want that to happen. Now, we're starting to hear the repercussions from the Pentagon's audit fiasco. And Patrick Shanahan, who's the current Deputy Secretary of Defense, said, yeah, we failed the audit, but we never expected to pass it. It's quite a nonchalant, casual dismissal of accounting errors and possible fraud. Yes, you know, it's only a few trillion dollars. I mean, It's ridiculous. And this appears to be prompting a lot of anger among ordinary Americans. And over at VidRebel, they're talking, there's a very angry article about how the military's stealing money from the voters. It can't last much longer. And I'm in agreement with that. Setting aside the risk of a nuclear war, which Putin is now saying, yes, he thinks that the U.S. is going to get into a nuclear war with Russia. We're out of money. We are flat out of money. Most Americans are hanging on by their fingernails. They're one disaster away from homelessness. And the government is just taking the tax money and they're pouring it all over the war machine, all over the illegal immigrants, the refugees. The refugees are being treated better than our veterans. It's a national disgrace. It really, really is. All right. Russia held a successful test of their new hypersonic glider, the Avangard. And basically, the way the missile is configured, it has a traditional ballistic missile booster that boosts it in a high ballistic path. And then the glider glides on down. And it is maneuverable. And that means that the entire U.S. ballistic missile defense system is totally obsolete because it's built around a doctrine of a predictable inbound ballistic path. So they had this successful test here, and already we're hearing voices coming from the Pentagon saying, oh, it's not that impressive. It's not really, it's not a big a deal, but can we have money to make one for ourselves? But apparently, it can travel at a top speed of Mach 20. Actually, there's Rossiya TV channel reported it can travel 27 Mach. That's actually above orbital speed. So they had a successful test. It's a real weapon now. Now, as you know, Donald Trump did something very cool. He went to visit the troops in Iraq. Of course, he didn't tell them he was going to bring them home. But they got to meet him, and it was a good time. He took Melania around. And apparently, a lot of the soldiers had Make America Great Again hats and an embroidered patch that read Trump 2020. And President Donald Trump made himself available to sign the hats and the patches. But apparently some of the officers in the chain of command are saying that these autographs potentially violate Department of Defense guidelines for political activities. Come on, guys. These are soldiers in the field. This is the commander in chief. Lighten the heck up. All right. Now, President Trump and First Lady Melania stopped at Ramstein Air Base in Germany on their way back to Washington, D.C., where he held some high-level meetings with key military generals aboard Air Force One. So, turning more a little closer to home here, apparently the deep state is in a panic with the idea that Mattis is stepping down. Now, Mattis was supposed to be out the end of February, but in a snit, he said he's leaving basically next week. And Trump is saying he's not in a hurry to find a replacement. We still don't know who's going to be nominated. There's a lot of speculation about that. There are two camps with two different sets of potential candidates for Secretary of Defense. Unfortunately, they're all maximum war hawks. We got to take another break for commercials, and we'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And we're talking about SecDef Mattesy stepping down. The corporate media is having cows. And basically, the concern in this article, which came out of Zero Hedge, is that all of the leading candidates to replace him are also war hawks. And I think that if Trump is serious about starting to pull us out of some of these engagements, that he needs a Secretary of Defense who is less aggressive and more tuned in with the needs of our soldiers in the field, logistics, the practical considerations of moving large forces across the globe. So apparently, Fox News is saying the most likely candidates for Secretary of Defense are Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arizona, and retired General John Jack Keane. And Tom Cotton, when he was a senator, gained a reputation for being extraordinarily hawkish, particularly regarding Iran. And he was a critic of the Iran nuclear deal. And Cotton was one of the authors of a controversial letter to Iran during the negotiations that was described by the Baltimore Sun as telling Tehran to prepare for war because the agreement could be nullified by the subsequent president, which is exactly what happened. Cotton is also calling on Congress to supply Israel with B-52s and bunker buster bombs to use against Iran. Iran hasn't done anything except to not obey orders here. Now, as for Keane, who's often referred to simply as Jack, he's a frequent commenter on Fox News, and he's been described by Ray McGovern as the go-to general for the neoconservatives, which is unsurprising given his close association with the influential neoconservative Kagan clan that includes Fred Kagan, Robert Kagan, and their wives Kimberly and Victoria Nuland. So she's cropped up again here. So this is not looking like a good change here. Okay, getting back to our local politics here. And apparently there is a lot of stuff going on back in Arkansas. It's not being covered in the corporate media. But apparently there have actually been some arrests and indictments coming out of Arkansas. And the source for this are press releases from the Justice Department. And the Arkansas swamp is getting little or no coverage in the corporate media. Of course, none of the swamps get covered in the corporate media. So anybody who thinks the Clintons aren't still involved in Arkansas, you're dreaming here. All right. John McCain's ties to the Christopher Steele dossier have come to light, and it doesn't look good. Now, we already reported on this back when the dossier first surfaced. There had been a report that John McCain was part of the conduit by which the FBI got this dossier. To the FBI. Now, Kramer himself was briefed by Christopher Steele back in
You get, and you wanna hear it straight. and only answers. AM, FM, shortwave talk radio. The truth is only talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Talk radio. The truth is only talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio. Turn it on, turn it up as loud as it'll go. Talk radio.
They railed against the crowd.
I'm hearing sound coming from RBN, though. Can you hear me, Mike? Okay, well, I don't know what's going on with Twitch, but it's sending me all kinds of bogus. Oh, apparently our YouTube video feed also went down. So this is Spectrum. Somebody pulled a wire over at Spectrum. Man, oh, man. All right, so we're talking about John McCain. We're talking about his links to the Christopher Steele dossier. He was briefed by Christopher Steele in London in 2016. The Russian dossier was paid for by the Democratic National Committee and Hillary Clinton's presidential campaign. It is a worthless piece of junk. Nothing in it has been corroborated, especially that story about Trump and the two prostitutes doing terrible things to a bed in a hotel. But they used it as evidence to go before FISA to get warrants so they could spy on Trump volunteers and staff and make it look quasi-legal. Cramer then returned back to the U.S. and delivered the dossier to John McCain. McCain handed the dossier over to the FBI. So there's the chain of cover-up, as it were. Okay, Vanity Fair is reporting that Joe Biden is apparently upset that Obama is paying more attention to Beto O'Rourke than to him. Now, as you know, both Beto and Joe are considering runs in 2020, and Joe Biden, having been Obama's vice president, I think the expectation was that Obama would support him. But apparently, Biden is kind of upset about this. Now, a Biden spokesman said, no, that's absolutely not true. These are just rumors. And, you know, there's nothing going on here. And a lot of people are saying that Obama is simply unwilling to take sides so early after the way the road was cleared for Hillary in 2016, despite her unpopularity. And by the way, speaking of Hillary, right now, among all potential candidates for the Democratic nomination in 2020, Hillary Clinton is polling dead last. Please get the message, Hillary. We're tired of you. We are really tired of you. Now, here's a good one, speaking of Hillary Clinton. Good old Judicial Watch, man, they are doing such good work over there. They're having to pry these documents out of the government with crowbars, even though these are supposed to be public records here. But Judicial Watch announced that it obtained more than 100 pages of previously classified secret documents from the Department of Defense and the Department of State, revealing that the Department of Defense almost immediately reported the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi was committed by the Al-Qaeda and Muslim Brotherhood-linked brigades of the captive Omar Abdul Rahman. Now, remember when Hillary was telling everybody that it was just a mass uprising over an offensive YouTube video, which turned out to be an offensive YouTube trailer for which there was no video? And that's not the best part. The best part is that these documents that Judicial Watch obtained prove that Defense and State Department, basically the Obama administration, knew terrorists had planned the attack 10 days in advance. So, and they were just lying through their teeth about all of that. I think the real goal in Benghazi was the hub of the gun-running pipeline from Libya to Syria, where they were taking weapons out of Libya, sending them to Syria to arm ISIS and Al-Qaeda. And it was all supposed to be very hush-hush. Well, now it's pretty much an open secret. That's what was going on. The consulate in Benghazi was where the operation was being run out of. And I think the real purpose of the attack was to simply burn the place to the ground and get rid of all the evidence in one bonfire. And it is just a shame that four people had to get killed in this situation. A while back, we were talking about this billionaire, Reid Hoffman, who funded a group that set up a whole bunch of phony Russian social media accounts to try and sell the voters that the Russian government was supporting Alabama Republican Roy Moore in last year's Senate election against now Senator Doug Jones. And Hoffman is the co-founder of LinkedIn. He's one of Silicon Valley's top donors to the Democratic campaigns and PACs. He has now issued an apology over what the people he funded did to Roy Moore, because it's definitely dirty politics. There's no question it's dirty politics. Okay. All righty, and let's see what happens when I do that. Okay, yeah, all right. So he's apologized now. We're still dealing with technical issues here. All right. Senator Rand Paul has come out with his annual list of maddening government waste, which this year came in at $114 million. And some of the items that were on there was a $2.4 million daydreaming study, a scientific examination of the sex habits of quails on cocaine, and it is, what do you get from that for all the money? Well, in some cases, they're political payoffs to various scientists or laboratories that have supported a candidate, and you'll say, you know, come up with something, we'll fund it, and that's your payoff here. All right, we're going to take a phone call now from Ulani in Maryland. Aloha, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, Mike, I had a question. What do you think in a collapse with the government, what agency would you think they would consolidate, and what agency do you think they would just like get rid of, you know, to try to manage their finances? And that's my question. You have a good day. Thank you.
All right. Well, thanks an awful lot. As we've already noted, during the partial government shutdown, what gets shut down are the things the American people want, like museums, national parks, monuments. And we're already getting stories about, you know, veterans who were going to pay their respects at a war memorial. And it's now behind barricades, and they were told to just turn around and go home. So the parts that remain open are, of course, those parts of the government involved in keeping an eye on us and regulating us and making sure that we're all moving in the right direction, like good little slaves here. All right, so let's talk about the economic news now. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it was a wild ride on the stock markets today. It opened about 200 down on the Dow, went down to just about 600. And then very obviously somebody came in to intervene at the end, and they just jammed it right back up to 200 in the green. So that's got to be making people very, very nervous. I know a lot of people were hoping that yesterday's 1,000-point gain was the beginning of a new trend and we can ride it to the top and we're all going to be rich. Well, it turns out that apparently what triggered yesterday's record-setting rise is that a lot of investors, a lot of governments and corporations were buying stock to basically put into their pension portfolios to make them look good for the end of the year audits. Now, that's a one-time thing. And it was an estimated $64 billion in purchases. But that's not going to happen again. And despite the PPT's best efforts, I think investors are spooked and they are rattled. We got to take another break for commercials. We'll be right back.
I'm getting older and noticing that my body just doesn't work as well as it used to. So I like to keep fit as possible by hitting the gym a few times a week. Recently, I started having a nagging bicep pain and it got so bad I couldn't even lift the weights. When I was complaining about it to a friend, he told me about Angioprim. He said chelation helps remove toxins, heavy metals, and cholesterol in veins and arteries that may cause blockages. You know, after just 1 week of taking Angioprim, the pain was gone and now I'm back in the gym full strength. Scientific research proves the active ingredient in Angioprim has superior oral chelation action that helps promote cardiovascular health. So to learn more, go to angioprim.com. That's A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M.com. Or talk to a trained consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. You'll feel better with more energy. Call 877-882-7221 or go to the website angioprim.com.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just telling you, I tell you what a great product you have. I could use this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. And I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. And Claire says that her internet also went out. And so, there was a problem out here with somebody at Spectrum yanking out a cable. Plugging it back in. And I know they got to do maintenance and replacement of parts and everything. And there is, unfortunately, no way to arrange that they not disturb our net connection during showtime. So it's just one of those things that happens. And apparently they're also having internet issues over at CenturyLink. They're apparently having a nationwide outage correlating to the blip. Now, it may just be the poor quality computers, software, and equipment and service that we've all come to know and love. But don't forget, there was all this talk about that a cyber attack on our country would be treated as an act of war. And we're coming up here on the New Year's weekend, and everybody's looking to go to war. They're just desperate to find some way to blame it on the other guy. You know, oh my goodness, they cut off our music videos. That's war. We're going to go to war for that one here. All righty, turning back to the economic news here. Forbes is now saying, and we all know this already, a worldwide debt default is coming. And it has to. Now, the U.S. government on-budget deficit was $100.5 billion in October. It was $63 billion in the same month a year earlier. So you can see how it's just going up and going up and going up. Now, Congress doesn't want to lower spending. There are a lot of people in our society who are dependent on entitlements. Yes, there are also a lot of people who take advantage of it and exploit it here. But the real problem goes back to that model of private central banking, which by default, by design, produces more debt than money with which to pay the debt. At some point, it does have to come apart. Now, in the past, when a country enslaved to a private central bank basically ran out the debt and crashed the economy, the other bankers around the world would step on in and help them restart the system and re-enslave the country to the private central bankers again. But this time, because of globalism, they're all linked together. And as Forbes seems to be thinking, the entire shebang could come down all at once. At which point, I hope the people of the world will stand up and say, no more of this private central banking nonsense. No more of allowing private bankers to just create money out of thin air and loan it into circulation at interest. It doesn't work in the long run. It's always great for the bankers who set it up. And I'm sure they set it up knowing somewhere down the road there'd be a big, huge crash. But that was going to be long after they were dead and they went to their graves happy after long lives of wealth and comfort and prestige and power. Right now, among the so-called FANG stocks, Facebook is the one that concerns people most. And a lot of it has to do with trust, which is centralizing around Chief Operating Officer Sheryl Sandberg. Okay, we got to take a break for station identification, and we will be right back.
Reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Here are some from Amazon. By Christine, great for heart palpitations. By Anne, before I started using this product, every afternoon my ankles and my hands would be swollen. That doesn't happen anymore. So if that part of their advertising is true, I have to assume that the rest of it is also. Not to mention that when I had my yearly blood test, only a few weeks after beginning to use this product, my cholesterol had dropped over 30 points. I'm going to continue to take it. By Croc, I love this product. It really works. By Brad, works great. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get your Extendivite today. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.